Hi, it's good to have your company. My name's Simon Smart. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Well, it's an Olympic year, so plenty of us are getting ready to do some stretches and jump on the couch with the chips and watch a lot of TV. But we thought we'd get someone in who's actually experienced on the competitor's side of the fence. Elka Whalen, you might remember her as Elka Graham, is a dual Olympian. She was at the Athens and the Sydney Olympics. She was a silver medalist at Athens in the 4x200 meter freestyle relay. She's been to World Championships, Commonwealth Games, World Cups, all sorts of things, and bagged medals at all of those. She was the world's fastest, is that right, Elka, in 2001 for the 200 meters freestyle, and ranked highly in those events for a long time in her pet event. These days, she's the mother of two small children. She's engaged, heavily engaged in the media and public speaking, and has even been on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, good to have you in, Elka. Ruined the whole bio intro then by saying that at the end. Thank you.
We might ask a bit more about that as we go. You must get excited, do you, in an Olympic year?
Oh, very, very much so. I mean, especially once you're out of the sport as well, meaning you're not competing, the 4 years just goes so fast. So excited that, you know, very, very soon, exactly what you said, everyone will be watching it at crazy times of hours if they want to see it live, and it'll just be saturating the world and the media. It'll be fantastic.
Will you go? Because I know your husband's competing.
I am. I'm actually going over there to do TV work over there and some writing. So very much so looking forward to doing that. And of course, my husband's going to his fourth and final Olympics in water polo, which is just a huge feat. It feels kind of crazy thinking there's six Olympics between the two of us, but he's got four and I've only got two.
Yeah,
but
he's done well.
Loved the two that I went to.
Is that where you met in that arena?
Very much so. We did actually, Simon. We met in the computer room. Can you believe that? So in the Olympic Village, there's, you know, over 10,000 athletes, but every country has their own block. And we had a media room. There were 504 athletes and there was a spare seat and Thomas sat down and I thought, he is very good looking. And we ended up having a little bit of a chat and then he kind of thought he knew me and then I had no idea who he was. And I said, look, I only remember good looking guys. I was so nervous. That was my sarcasm, the lowest form of wit. That's what I said to him, and with that he kind of got up and left, and that was our first encounter.
you won his heart somehow with that. Elka, do you miss the thrill of competing? Is there anything that can replace it? I sometimes think of athletes who really at a very young age finish that career having had these incredible experiences. Is life afterwards a bit mundane?
Certainly not. I think there comes a point in your life and time where you just know that you're ready for a new season or a new transition. And for me, there were just three things that I really wanted to achieve in my swimming career, and that was to obtain an Olympic medal, break a world record and become a world champion. And whether that took me one minute or took me 100,000 billion minutes, I was going to do that until that was achieved. And it happened 7 years in. And so, you know, I had a great career for 7 years and I just knew I was ready to move on to the next phase. And, you know, the thrill of competing, you certainly always will miss, because it's that adrenaline and that's that nervousness and that's that feeling of sickness in your stomach. But the reason you're feeling like that is because you've trained so hard. You know, when you get up on the blocks, you're just waiting to see how fast you're going to swim.
Tell us about your swimming life. When did you know you were really good at this? Like, what stage of you must have been a young child.
Well, I never really knew that I was good, Simon. It was more so the fact that I felt I completely and utterly connected with the water. I think in life there's something that everybody loves to do that they can kind of do with their eyes closed. And for me, every time I dive into the water, there's just complete and utter silence. I don't need to answer to anyone and I don't need to think when I swim. I just get in and I know what to do and all I hear is just the rhythm of the water. And so I did do swimming from a really early age, and also nippers as well, along with my other brothers and siblings. You know, there's the six of us in the family. But it wasn't kind of until 9 months out from the Olympics that I decided I wanted to go to the Olympics. Thought I had a little bit of a talent, and it was just a real mental change. And that's the first team I ever made was the Australian Olympics.
The problem is that, see, I dive in the water and feel something similar, but I'm, you know, compared to you, I'm flailing around. What makes a good swimmer?
Yeah, great question. So just as you were saying that, it made me think. So you're either a floater or a sinker, and it's really easy to tell. Kind of when anyone jumps in the water, it's really easy for them to float and they don't need to think, or they're a sinker. Now, I mean, I've seen a lot of people dive into the water. Most people are actually floaters, so they do have a general natural ability to be able to swim. But there are a few sinkers that just absolutely struggle. So I think a really big thing when you swim is as well is that a lot of people think that you swim through the water. If you're a good swimmer, you swim through. But if you're a really good swimmer, you should be swimming on top of the water, almost like a boat. You know, you're on the water, but the rudder, you know, you're on top and you're just kind of sailing through.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
Tell me what your clearest, best memory of your swimming career is.
The pinnacle moment of my swimming career would have to be when I was announced in the Australian Olympic team. I mean, here I was, a near 18-year-old girl that was just made the cutoff for the final and thought, wow, wouldn't this be amazing if I made it? And to look at someone like Susan O'Neill and be 9 seconds behind her in the 200 freestyle 9 months out, to then drop a second in those 9 months and you know, to finish and be next to her and be announced in the team with the likes of Anne Thorpe, Kieran Perkins, shaking the hands of Dawn Fraser and John Conrads and Murray Rose was incredible. I mean, the stadium at the Sydney Aquatic Centre in Homebush was absolutely packed, and I just remember the next morning waking up and being born and bred a Northern Beaches girl on the front cover of the Manly Daily was our Elka makes the Olympics. And it had nothing to do with the fact that I made the Olympics. It was the fact that they claimed me as theirs and ours, and it was just an incredible moment. I thought, a goal achieved.
Well, great being in your own city, right? That's a rare occurrence. Fabulous for you.
Very much so.
Tell us about your biggest disappointment.
Biggest disappointment. Well, I know for a fact that I'm a very statistic woman, and I know that there are 46 different places around the world that I went home in the hotel room and closed the door and, you know, really showed my true colours, where there was a lot of crying for races that just didn't happen, or I got too nervous, or I was ranked first and it just didn't happen, or I felt fantastic in the warm-up and then I just dived in and just felt like lead. And as they often say in swimming, it's like the grand piano falling on you, and you would replay that event over and over. And one of the great things about sport and swimming is it takes you around the world, which is fantastic. But also one of the hard things is often the places you are in the world is the opposite time zone to your parents. So being young, you know, I couldn't ring my parents at 2 or 3 in the morning, although my mum would say, of course you can ring me at any time, and, you know, share that disappointment with them. And I think it's a real moments like that really test your faith and your character and who you are in those moments. And I remember my coach would always say, okay, you know, no matter what happens, breathe through your ears. You never want anyone to see, you know, how you're really feeling in the race. Go home. Once you close that door, you know, get upset, get angry. But the next morning, you have to walk out like a champion again, because you need to compete in another race. And a real champion is someone who can just put behind the day that happened and then get up and go again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are some really tough moments of being ranked number one in the world and ended up coming second, which is, to a lot of people, it's still really great, but when you're ranked number one, you know, you still want to be able to hold that title and touch that wall first.
You've had other setbacks. You had a heart scare, of all things. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was swimming in June, just before the 2003 World Champs, the fittest and leanest I'd been and pumping out some great times. And after one session, I just felt a little bit dizzy. We just put that down to maybe not drinking enough water. And then it happened a couple of weeks later. And then the third time it happened, I like literally blanked out and was unconscious and ended up in hospital for a month, where they found I had a heart arrhythmia. So we had a couple of tests and then ended up having an operation and was told I couldn't go to the 2003 World Championships. So to have someone that you don't know, or a doctor or nurse, tell you that you can't ever swim again and that you're not going to, you know, the World Championships a year out before the Olympics was devastating. What's even more devastating was reading a Sunday paper saying that Elka Graham had willingly pulled out of the Australian team when I hadn't. It was just more so, you know, obviously them covering themselves and insurance-wise. So I didn't really like that answer. So I sought a second opinion, and after that month, then the doctor gave me the all clear and put an appeal in, and ended up going over to Barcelona and winning 3 medals. So I'm kind of glad I stuck with my instincts and went along with it.
Yeah, and you cleared that problem up, presumably?
Very much so. I mean, I do have a heart arrhythmia, and I'm always going to have to be aware of it. I think a lot of people do, and they might not know about it. And, you know, there's quite a few things that I can't have, a lot of things I don't want to have, like excessive amounts of alcohol, smoking, drugs, sleeping tablets, a lot of caffeine. So I'm always really careful kind of with what I have. And I'm a pretty excitable person, so I don't often need a lot of coffee.
Tell me, what gives you today, gives you the most joy in your life?
my family. I'm totally in love with my husband. He's my best friend. I love him. I'm in love with him. He brings out the best in me, and he's my best friend, and our two beautiful children who are happy and healthy. The fact that we go to church every Sunday and we've reconnected with God, and I wake up every morning just going, wow, this is all for us. He's given this all to us, and I just love the fact of meeting new people and forming relationships, encouraging people, empowering people, and just waking up every morning. I get excited like a little toddler, like, what is the day going to bring in store? Yeah. It's the greatest joy. I love life.
Well, you mentioned your faith. Where does Christian faith fit into all this, and how long has that been part of your life?
Yeah, sure. I was going to Sunday school like a lot of people were, I'm sure, when they were younger, and then you get to that, pivotal between 13 and 15 years of age where you kind of, not that you become too cool, but other things take over, like nippers or sport, and kind of drifted. I always still had God in my heart. And then it was around about when the whole thing happened with my heart and Barcelona, I just kind of kept feeling the need to go back to God and go back to church. And so I did, and I've never really looked back. And I go to Christian City Church, C3 at Oxford Falls, and absolutely love it. And my husband goes, and obviously our children as well. Sometimes I think kids' church is way more fun. I just reconnected, and my life has never been the same. And I'm a different person because of it as well.
Those sort of crises in life, like you were facing there, can sometimes bring things into sharp focus, can't they? Things that really matter and where you're heading in life.
Very much so. And I think that was the catalyst. I think even if that hadn't have happened, I was always still going to go back. Some of my most nervous races, I would get up on the blocks, and just before I would bend down, if I was so sickly nervous, I would say, oh God, please be with me. And I knew those races might not necessarily go well because I was that nervous. I actually had to ask for help. When, if you know God, you never need to ask for help. Like, he's with you all the time anyway. So most of the time when I was swimming well, I'd just get up on the blocks and look at the girl next to me and go, you are going down, sucker. You're going down. So, faith has just always been so important. And, particularly working in the media, it's something that I've never really shied away from. And if somebody asked me, are you religious? My answer is definitely not. No, I think religion causes a lot of problems and greed in the world, but I have a great relationship with the man above, and that's how I answer it. And the thing is, that's the truth. I do. I have a great relationship with God and the man above.
Now, the census tells us there are less and less Australians who would claim any sort of religious faith or belief. If people ask you, what do you say to them? What relevance does faith have today?
Well, I'd say that, I definitely am a Christian, and my best friend is JC, and I hang out with him all the time. And I love the fact of having faith, because there is someone available 24/7. I remember our scripture teachers saying to us, every night before you go to bed, you lay both your hands out, and you get all your problems, and you just, like a book, you just flip the page and hand them over to God, because he's going to be up all night anyway. And I thought, what a great analogy. It's so true. So the best way that I can describe it to people is that I know the difference that has happened in my life to coming back to Christ. And I've just seen a world of abundance open, complete joy. I'm just happy just being. I'm not like so many people are in the world of being a human doing. We are human beings, so there's nothing wrong with just being and just enjoying what you've been given.
Charity work, something you've been able to do a lot of. Bono from U2 once said there's nothing worse than a celebrity with a cause, right? But you can do some good, can't you, with having a bit of a profile?
Very much so. Putting your name to something that you believe in as well is something huge, and I've always been really careful with what I put my name towards. As long as it's something that's positive and uplifting and empowering and inspiring, then definitely. So working in the media is a lot of fun because, everybody has different agendas, and a lot of people, are out for one thing. But I just love the fact that God's put me in this position, and when he's ready to move me on to something else, well then, I'm ready to move on to something else.
And one final question, what would you like people to most remember you for?
Wow, my gosh, am I dying? To be someone that, is inspiring and bringing out the best in people. I think, the biggest thing that lacks today in this world is self-confidence for people, and people really need to understand just how amazing and beautiful they are, and they need the right dream team around them to see that.
Well, you've inspired me to get back in the pool, Elka. Thanks so much for coming. It's great chatting to you.
Thank you so much for having me.